Greetings, this is James Gillen with As You Wish Talk Radio. We're broadcasting live from Maui and for this message. And we're going to have a great guest tonight. We've got Susan Sandiford, and she's worked very closely with Mother Mary. And Mother Mary's been very close to me as well. I've had some amazing experiences from childhood on. I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for Mother Mary. And so we have a strong connection there, but she's had quite an interesting life and a lot of experiences with Mother Mary, and she's been given some messages and some missions, so to speak, to fulfill. And so without any further ado, I want to get into that and bring Susan on the show. Susan, are you with us?
I am here and excited to be here.
Oh, thanks for coming on the show. You know, the first question I wanted to ask was what was your first experiences with Mary, and what came out of those experiences?
Well, I had my spiritual awakening way back in 1993. Believe it or not, I was born and raised a fundamentalist Christian, so Mary wasn't even on the radar in my thought process. You know, as fundamentalist Christians, you know, Mary doesn't play a role. Maybe in the Catholics they do, but in my life, you know, it was never a thought to pray to Mother Mary or to connect with her. You know, it was always Jesus and that kind of thing. But then I had this spiritual awakening back in 1993 where I kind of went looking for God, because I had done the church thing and that kind of thing for the longest time. You know, I even went to Bible school for 4 years, you know, and, you know, studied the Bible, went, taught Sunday school, did all the church thing. But I can remember sitting down on the couch in 1993 and saying, God, where are you? I pray. I've done it right. I've done it the way the preacher told me, the way they told me to do it in church. I said, where's that God of miracles? Where's the God that parted the Red Sea? You know, I said, that's the God I want to know. And then this thought popped into my head, James, that said, you know what? I'm going to throw all my beliefs out the window. And God, I want you to show me what truth is. So no bells or whistles went off that day. But that was the defining moment of my journey, because I let go of thinking I knew what truth was. And then soon after, sort of the dreams and mystical experiences and metaphysical experiences happened. And that's a long story that we don't want to go into at this moment. And we'll share a little bit about that in the retreat. But that's what started my spiritual journey. So this is many years later. In 2001, and through my spiritual awakening, my third eye popped open. And oftentimes, a way spirit would communicate with me is what my husband calls my third eye chalkboard, where they write things out for me. You know, maybe I was that dense that I couldn't hear it at that point, but when they really want to get my attention, they will write things when I meditate in my head. So, you know, we were living in Australia at the time. Spirit had moved us there. And every time I'd meditate, I would get this little message to go to Medjugorje. Now, have you ever heard of Medjugorje, James?
Oh, yes, definitely. Yeah, that's a lot of major appearances happen there.
Correct, correct. And so this wouldn't let up for 2 months. Go to Medjugorje. And I'm thinking, I don't want to go to Medjugorje. That's Catholic. That's someplace I don't want to go. And the little handwriting on the wall or in my inner chalkboard kept saying, do that. And so I committed to going, and I said, okay, I'll go. And believe it or not, my friend back in the States, without even knowing Spirit was urging me to go to Medjugorje, sent me a book on Medjugorje, and it came that day that I committed to going. Mm-hmm. And so we looked for tickets, and we could only find one plane ticket. So that meant my husband couldn't go. So I was on a total trust of faith that I was going to be taken care of. And I flew all the way from Australia. It was a 36-hour plane ride. And there's some really cool stories along the way that we won't go into now, but I was so taken care of. But finally I got there. A group of people took me in, Americans, and took care of me because I was all by myself, didn't know where I was going. But the first day I was there, I was sitting and praying and meditating in front of her statue in front of St. James Church, going, why am I here, you know? And so I'm connecting in and asking why I'm there, and I hear this audible female voice that says, you've invited Jesus into your heart, now you're going to invite me. And there was like this explosion in my heart of incredible joy and realized she was my mother. Mm-hmm. And that's how I met Mother Mary. I didn't go looking for her. She came looking for me. Mm-hmm. And it was such a miraculous trip. There were so many incredible things that happened on that trip to connect me with her. But that was the first time I knew that she was my mother. So that was sort of the beginning of it all. And, you know, since then, you know, I kind of connected with her, and she kind of sneaks up into your life when you least expect it. I don't know if you've experienced it that way. She just comes in out of the blue when I'm not even thinking about it. And she just comes in such a loving way that you can't help but not invite her in.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's just pure bliss and pure love and nurturing energy when I experience her. And she's made a couple of cameo appearances at the ranch where she allowed people to photograph her. And we've got some amazing photographs of that experience.
Yes, and I've seen those. And that's truly amazing, because when she comes in, it is such incredible divine love. Now, what I found for me personally, when she comes into your life, she comes in to teach you how to love you, which a lot of people struggle with. You know, she comes in to heal the heart and to teach you how to love you, which is what I really struggled with, you know, being raised the sin, death, hell stuff, you know, where you're, you know, this lowly worm and not worthy of God's love, you know. That's what she had to work with me with, is showing me how to love me. And so when she would come in dreams and visions and connections, it would always be when I am feeling at my worst or beating up on myself the most, and or hating myself for some reason, you know what I mean? Like, oh my God, I can't believe I did that, you know, or whatever. And she would always come in this incredible love and say, you know, it's okay. And so she even shows love for our darkest parts, or what we think are our unhealed stuff. Mm-hmm. We have a tendency to want to beat up on ourselves for not being good enough or not worthy enough. And so we're always at war with what we don't like about ourselves. And what she does is she teaches you to embrace that part of yourself and love even that part of yourself. So her role in my life has been to teach me how to love me and to move into the heart, because how are you ever going to give out divine love if you can't love yourself?
Oh, I agree 100%. I've noticed one thing on the islands here. It's beautiful because they have the, you know, the Aloha spirit is very well established here. But there's a lot of other people running around. It's kind of sad, and I'd love to get your take on it. But a lot of women that have been very wounded, they blocked off that loving, nurturing, feminine side of themselves, and are very defensive. And it's kind of sad, because I've been running at that a lot here, and mm-hmm. going whoa, where did that come from? I'm just sitting here, you know, and watching all those energies come up, you know, mm-hmm. with people recently. And I think it's a global thing happening everywhere right now, because the whole earth is shifting and changing. But it seems like all those old wounds and traumas and defense patterns and programs are all surfacing. I'm wondering if you're kind of seeing that yourself, or if you have any solutions to helping people work through that.
Well, yeah, you know, and that's really interesting, because I think a lot of women, and this was especially true for myself, James, in the fact that because we're really sensitive beings, a lot of probably the people that you're connecting with are evolved beings, but carry a lot of divine feminine energy, or, you know, lean toward that way. And a lot of us has come back into the planet. And if they're like me, I was terrified of male dominant energy, or strong male energy, okay? And so we're trying to balance that now, okay? We're trying to figure out, how can I be in this world and not be afraid of the male dominant energy? And so they've either been wounded by that, and so they've shut their hearts down. And the best way to heal that is to recognize, and this is what Mother Mary taught me, is to... Of course, we draw into our lives the experiences that can best help us grow, mm-hmm. even the little nasty ones, okay?
Oh, yeah.
Even even the uncomfortable ones. And what she kept teaching me over and over is to embrace the experience instead of run from it or hate it or want it to go away. And it goes back to what we're healing on the planet is our warlike nature. Okay, mm-hmm. So all that defensiveness coming up in people is their warlike nature. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
And that's being transmuted right now where it's being poked. I call them hairballs, you know,
yeah.
unhealed emotional wounds. And what's happening is those are being poked for us to deal with, but most of us run away from them or become the victim of them or don't embrace them and say, what is it that needs to be healed in me that I'm not at peace? And so the minute that we're thrown out of peace, that's when we go to Divine Spirit, when we ask for help to come in and heal me instead of projecting it out on the world to change the world or, you know, project it out on you. So there's like these little tricks once you realize that the universe, God, Mother Mary's loving you enough to trigger you. Then you go dance and play in those feelings, and you can transmute those feelings in a matter of seconds if you embrace them mm-hmm. instead of run from them. So it's what, like what she says, is that you've got to invite your pain in for a cup of tea mm-hmm. and see what it has to teach you. So it's really just a matter of a switch in perception of embracing the experience rather than reacting to the experience. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if that answered your question, but that's how I've found is the minute that I get triggered, I go to spirit and say, what needs to be healed in me? Because I realize that the outer world is a reflection of my unhealed inner world. And if I start embracing even the dark parts, the unhealed parts, we realize what incredible gift they are rather than that, oh, this is creating pain in my life or triggering something old. Actually, it's an opportunity for growth.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I've seen some experiences. I had one here on the island. I won't go into it, but it was kind of crazy because there was a person that invited me to go up to this, you know, really special place, you know, and she wanted to go swimming up there and then wanted to go to this secret beach, you know, with a cave and everything. And the whole time I'm just going, what? You know, I wonder what's going on here. You know, what's the agenda? And so I was just being, you know, a gentleman, kind of keeping my energies to myself and just being there as support. And what was really weird, and then like 2 days later, I get this just venomous email calling me every name in the book. And I'm just going, where did that come from? I mean, where? And I know that happens with, you know, people like us that are holding frequencies and energies. It brings things up. But
right.
But it was amazing. I just, you know, I tried to help her through it and just said, hey, you know, there's a lot of projections going on here and a lot of wounded things coming up and pain. And I said that I don't even have any idea what you're talking about. So really, this doesn't concern me other than if you want somebody to bounce this off of to go through it, you know, I'll be there. Boy, it just went. You know, the walls went up, the shields went up, and the judgments came up, and I just went, wow, you know.
Yeah. And once she realizes that that's an opportunity for growth within her, and it's not about you at all.
Exactly.
That's when the miracle happens.
And that's what I tried to explain to her. I said, this really isn't about me, because I'm very mm-hmm. clear on who I am and my intentions. And I said, this is really something for you to really sit with, you know, mm-hmm. sit with it and see if you can come up with anything. You know, if I did anything on my part, I said, I would love to hear about it. And you know, she couldn't really come up with anything. You know, it was just, and I just said, well, you know, this is your stuff coming up, you know, to heal and embrace it, you know, just own it and embrace it. You know, we can move beyond it, but you know, it didn't even go to that level. Actually, it just, the door got slammed and then the victim turned into the persecutor and you know,
exactly
that whole program. So,
so you were just the trigger. You were the catalyst
for
an opportunity for her to heal something within herself, but she didn't necessarily understand that yet because what it did, it triggered her emotions, and you can never get to clarity when you're full of raging emotions.
Exactly.
Yeah, and those have to be moved through. And that's the exact moment when people understand that's the exact moment when you're thrown out of peace, You invite spirit in to say, what needs to be healed in me that I'm not at peace? That's what Mother Mary taught me, is that you go straight and ask, you know, because all it is an opportunity to choose love. And if you can't get to love, you ask spirit to trigger the emotions and to understand who you're really angry at. Because she's not really angry at you. You've just reminded her of something unhealed in her, and she projected it onto you. And, which leads to what's happening on the planet, because I fully believe the energies that are coming in are directly going and working on the heart right now. And
I agree, yeah.
And so what happens if you don't know how to deal with those things, if you don't know how to transmute those energies, it's going to just continue on this recycling of the emotions, because you're not dealing with it properly. You're just projecting it but not releasing it, you know. And so that's what Mother Mary teaches, is how to let go. Matter of fact, I kind of had an experience like that, James, where believe it or not, I'm on the local town council. Which is like, why Mother Mary put me there, I have no idea, but it's been one of the best teachers to be on that. But there was a particular gentleman that was a little bit off his rocker that was determined to keep his horse in town. And you're not allowed to keep your horse, you know, on Main Street, peeing and pooping in the yard, okay?
Yeah.
And we were discussing this one night at the town council meeting, and he wasn't even there. And I just made this innocent little statement that said, you know, sometimes I smell the pee and poop when I walk past, and do we really want that in town? That's all I said. You know, is one of the reasons why we don't want horses living in the front yards of people's houses, you know.
Yeah.
And the next day I ran into this guy at the post office, and he tore into me with every male dominant energy. I mean, I was just shocked. I was just stunned. You said my horse stinks. Boom. You know what I mean? Projecting that energy. Of course, I cried all the way home because I'm a little sensitive heart, you know, that, like, what did I do? You know, I didn't even know what happened. And it took me a little while to get over it. I mean, I was angry. I was frustrated. And I kept saying, Mother Mary, what do I do here? You know, I've got to let this go. Because for 2 weeks, I was terrified to walk on my own street because I was afraid this guy was going to cross the street and yell at me. And it was a perfect example, because I made the mistake of telling spirit I didn't want to be afraid of male dominant energy. And if you do that, you're going to get it, so you'll learn how to deal with it. And he was one of them. I had three that came into my life within 6 months that I had to learn how to deal with. But I'm standing in the shower. I usually get shower messages. I don't know why. But I clearly hear Mother Mary's voice say, she said, well, build him a barn. Mm-hmm. And it just melted. This peace came over. I said, you know, Mother Mary, that would be the most loving thing to do, even though he doesn't deserve a barn, his horse needs a barn. Mm-hmm. And so it just so shifted my perception, and all she said was, Mother Mary said, was, well, build him a barn, because that was the problem. He didn't have a place for his horse.
Mm-hmm.
And it just totally shifted me, and I was no longer angry at him anymore, all that frustration and anger. I mean, I was even carrying mace. I was so scared of this guy, you know. And that's the way Mother Mary does. She just pops in and says, well, build him a barn.
Yeah, yeah.
And I go, oh, okay. And so I went to my husband. I said, well, we got to build, you know, Prax a barn. And he said, okay, well, let's figure out how we can do it, you know. Mm-hmm. And then what happened was the guy died 2 months later.
Mm.
You know, and the universe kind of took him out because he wasn't learning his lessons. But she shifted me into love. And so what happens with these experiences like you had with this lady, you know, when you go to spirit and say, shift me, change me, heal me, instead of projecting it on the outer world as the problem is really the inner world. Show me how to love in this instant. Move me into peace and let me love.
Yeah, what I got, what happened with me, it was interesting, is that my first reaction was to go into a defensive posture, you know, go, whoa, wait a minute, you know, like this.
Sure.
And then set some boundaries, which I haven't done in the past. You know, I've just gone, well, what, how do you get that? And I'd kind of almost go into, you know, trying to make peace with it and everything else. And And I learned in this case, it's like, well, wait a second. This is not mine. I know who I am. I'm not this creepy person that is being projected on me, or I've never wanted to harm anybody or trespass on anybody's space, you know? And so, you know, I had to kind of reevaluate myself after all the projection got slammed on me. And then I had to release it, let it go, you know, do the forgiveness thing, release it and let it go. And then there's a part of me that once wanted to help, but then I kept getting no. I kept getting no, mm-hmm. You just need to set a boundary here and learn the lesson from it. And kind of the lesson I got was not to, the lesson I've been getting over and over lately is to practice love and kindness, but set boundaries with those who aren't, you know.
Absolutely. I agree with that 100% because that's the same lesson that I'm learning. And I don't know about you, James, but it seems like the more we become clear with our own stuff, the higher frequency we are, then we feel much on a much deeper level all the lower level energies. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean?
Exactly.
And so what happens is it's like we feel like we get slimed when someone projects their energy onto us. And then it takes us time to clear it because it's not our stuff. It's their stuff. But that's the exact lesson I've been learning is, you know, I think I've been a lot like you. It's like I really want to help people learn and grow. But some people don't want to learn and grow.
Exactly.
You know? And so we have to let them go and realize they're on their own soul's journey. And, you know, I mean, one thing I've learned, you can't be the Holy Spirit in anybody else's life.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, but you can love them, but some people you have to love from afar. And I think that's a perfect lesson for light workers and people on their spiritual journey is when to let go and to stop trying to save. Mm-hmm. It's not our job to save them. It's our job to love them. Another Mother Maryism.
Yeah.
It's not your job to save anybody. Your only job is to love them where they are on their journey. And then she'll go back and remind me, she says, and isn't that where I loved you, where you yeah. were on your journey? You know, because the understanding I have now here, let's see, 12 years later was totally different way back then when I first met her, you know, coming out of that fundamentalist Christian, you know, background and that kind of thing. She had to take me where I was and she loved me. But the key is that loving people when they'll let you in. Mm-hmm. And if they won't let you in, that's not your job to try to get in there. Because, you know, I've always been this, everybody's got to be feel loved if they're around me. And I had to let go of that one, too.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. I think for a long time ago, I kind of got rid of any need for acceptance and approval outside of myself. And I think one of these last lessons was just learning to set boundaries. I mean, at the ranch there, everybody says, what is wrong with you? You know, you give people strike 25. You know, they struck out 3 times ago. You know, they should have been out of here. And you know, I just keep sticking with them and keep working with them. But the energy usually just pushes them out if they don't heal and go
right.
to the next level. The energy pushes them out. But
yeah, I do the same thing. I do the exact same thing. I am forgiving 7 times 7, you know, or 77, whatever that verse in the Bible that says, you know, forgive 7. I am that way. But then when it starts affecting you and changing your vibrational energy, and when you get slimed and you can't do your loving work because you're being attacked, I think that's when to set the boundary.
Exactly. And also, too, I see that the in order to maintain a frequency, which we have to at the ranch to keep contact with these higher dimensional beings and the masters and everything, it's imperative that each person take personal responsibility and become the observer and own their emotions and attitudes, you know, and learn to clear, you know, release those and clear them and heal them.
I agree 100%. And really that's what it's all about, taking personal responsibility, you know, for your own life and working on your stuff and recognizing when you're triggered, you say, this is my stuff. You own it and you ask spirit to help you clear it. Now, the really cool thing is that when you keep doing that, there is a light at the end of the tunnel. And I don't remember if you specifically know the date, but I can remember when I woke up one day and that critical voice in my head was totally gone. And I realized I loved myself. Mm-hmm. It's like, and that voice in your head goes away. I don't know how to explain it, but do you understand what I'm talking about?
I do. The critical voice I get is outside of me. Everybody else wanting you to behave in a certain way or measure up to their standards or their images. The inner critical voice is pretty much gone. Because I think once you merge, because of the near-death experiences, once I merged with the source and I knew what the source was and it didn't even have an ego to judge and I was just loved unconditionally, all that other stuff went away.
Yeah, and that's really cool because when you hit that plane of love, that's where the change takes place. Mine didn't happen because of a near-death experience. Matter of fact, I never had one kind of metaphysical experience in all my life. Mine happened because I asked God what love was and to show me what love was. And that's something that, again, there's a lot of incredible stories in here. And I'll share at the Teachings of Mary retreat about how love pops open your heart and open all your chakras when you hit that plane of divine love. And that's the thing that awakens you is love. And, of course, that's one thing that Mary teaches you is that that's what she wants us to become is divine love and express it in the world because once you hit it, you're right, it either triggers your stuff because it's loving a person enough to trigger them to help them heal, or it gives people a loving experience that, which allows them to open your heart, which, you know, and I'm sure, you know, that you've dealt with this because the heart, when you move into the heart, it literally is a dimensional portal. Mm-hmm. And it shifts you into another timeline when you hit that. You know, you hit that incredible divine love, which is totally different than human love. And that's, you know, when you were talking about, you know, people needing you to behave in a certain way so they'll feel loved. Mm-hmm. That's human love, where you project, you know, they project onto you, you need to behave this way so I know I feel loved. And once we let go of that and realize that the only love we really need is love for ourselves.
Exactly.
That is the key to relationships.
Yeah, it's. I noticed that up at the ranch, I use that a lot because people come up there and I tell them, I said, you know, if you're going to come up here and spend any time, you're going to have to really learn to love yourself and be able to sit with yourself and not need all the external things happening there because it's a major internal journey what's happening. And I love what you're saying about the heart. Like God is a feeling. It's not an intellectual understanding. It's not written in a word. You experience it as a feeling through the heart. And I think that's where so many people who go into the religious programs miss the boat. They're so busy engaging the intellect, they forget about the heart and miss the connection.
Right. And it's the experience of the divine that is the healer. You can think and talk about God all you want to, but it's experiences that opens the heart. And that's the way Mother Mary teaches. She teaches through experience. Mm-hmm. You know, I get messages and downloads from her, but more than that, I get experience. And I get heart experiences, but I embrace them. I don't run from them. Mm-hmm. You know, so you're right. And, you know, and that's one of the things that I love to teach is how to move into the heart. And how to live from the heart and how to recognize that the key is right there in the heart and to find out how to open that little puppy up and how to heal that little puppy and how to release the unhealed emotions that are causing you to be reactive in the world rather than embracing the world and recognize that everything that happens to you is an opportunity for growth and to choose love.
Have you noticed lately what I've been feeling is that as a child, you know, connecting with Mary's energy, I just felt this just loving, nurturing, you know, mother energy. But recently I feel like now it's like Mother Mary with a bat. It's like she's coming in really strong and no more nonsense. And it's time to get on with things. Have you noticed a shift in that energy?
I've noticed that the experiences she brings into my life are very hard ones. It's like the surgeon's knife. Mm-hmm. We got to go cut that out. you know. And it's, to me, it's still in a loving way, but it's in a way that says, you know, we've got to pull this tooth. We're not going to wiggle it anymore. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know? So, yes, I would agree with that. You know, and but she always comes in with love. And again, this is the difference between, and I don't know how to explain the difference between the feeling of divine love. I don't think it's explainable. Do you?
No.
It's an experience, and when you hit that wall, you literally feel so loved, no matter where you are and what you are. And once you start accepting the hard stuff that we have to deal with, and start loving the dark nights of the souls, you know, the parts we're not willing to let go of, it goes so much quicker. We start going with the process instead of against the process. Mm-hmm. And you're right. The process become very, very honed in. And again, I think on a planetary level, the reason we're seeing all these threats of war on the outer world is because that's what's being worked on the inner world with people on an individual basis. You know, when we're going to let go of our hatreds, our angers, our you did this to me, our victimhood. Mm-hmm. And so that's the key, is for us that know how to let go of it, is to let go of it. And be thankful it's coming up, because it's affecting the whole consciousness grid.
It definitely is. I've noticed with myself, you know, I'm sure you've noticed it too, but after hanging out with Mary or the Pleiadians or these beings that are just pure bliss and love, they're real giddy energy, you know. Mm-hmm. And you hang out in these energies, and then you have to deal with the earth, you know.
Yes.
And the comparison of that versus... I always go, God, I would just love for a Pleiadian to drop in, or one of these ascended masters, you know, drop in and say, hey, James, you know, let's hang out for a while, you know, and, you know, just do that here in the physical, even, you know, who knows, down the road, maybe have a mate along those same lines. But boy, I've just been, it's amazing in hanging out in those higher dimensions and just feeling that pure love and joy and bliss. And then seeing what's being expressed on this level, in this dimension, it makes it rough. It makes it hard to even want to be here.
I agree. Oh, man, I tell you, you know, and even sometimes I get a little mad at spirit. It's like, where'd you guys go? You know?
<Yeah. laughs>
You know, it's like you're dealing with all this stuff. And like, where did you guys go? And matter of fact, you know, an experience with Mother Mary happened right after I visited the ranch back in August. Mm-hmm. I was taking some of my paintings down to get into Taos to get them photographed, and you know, and I'm thinking, where are they? You know, we're working really hard down here. You know, where are they? And on the way back, I felt Mother Mary's presence just fill the car, and I just started sobbing because I thought. Where have you been? You know, it's been so hard, you know, and she just embraced me with this hug of energy. I mean, I cried for 20 minutes. I don't know even how I drove, you know, down the road, and I just cried and cried. And, you know, finally she says, I'll bless anything you do on my behalf. And that was it. And it was like reinvigorated me to keep up the good fight. Do you know what I mean? To keep going, keep doing my work that she's asked me to do. Because, you know, there have been times, and I know about you, that you just want to give up because it's so hard.
Oh, yeah. I've actually tried two or three times to quit and do something else. And, it, you know, it's so burned in my soul to do what I'm doing. I can't do anything else.
Yeah, and that's the same with me. You know, the exact same thing. But speaking of the ranch, I wanted to share a couple of experiences I had while I was there. That,
sure.
To me, the energies there just knocked me over. I mean, the first night I was there, I had to go to bed at 9 o'clock. I was so wiped out because the energies were so powerful. I love the energy more than I love seeing the ships, believe it or not.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and I meditated a lot on that little hill there, and I think it was Saturday morning when you guys were doing Qigong practice. I was sitting up on that little hill meditating, and you did these ohms with the group, and every time you did an ohm, I heard a flute playing. It was like a little light penny whistle flute. I don't know what being that was, but every time you guys ohmed, it was three times, it happened every time, this sweet little lilting little flute played along with you guys.
Yeah, that happens quite a bit. We have a lot of nature spirits hanging out.
Okay.
I don't know if you heard that story. I've told it before, but on Coast to Coast, they did reverse speech on me. I had a picture of Mary's energy coming down over a statue of Mary and Buddha, and the light was bending out. It was amazing. It was pink, and it was taken at about 10 o'clock in the morning with the sun in the east, you know, so it couldn't have been a sun flare. It was taken aiming towards the west. And, you know, everybody saw these pictures just blown away. But on the picture, you could see this orange shaft going off the top of Buddha's head, hitting me right in the lower back, and then Mary's energy, the pink energy coming down. And then all these little blue balls of energy all around the bottom of the picture. And on Coast to Coast, Art Bell, when he was interviewing me, he said, "What are all those little blue lights at the bottom of the picture?" And I said, "You know, I'm not sure. They look like some form of nature spirit to me." And when they did reverse speech on me, I said, "Mary's elves say to love her."
Ah, that is so cool.
Yeah.
That is really cool.
So I'm wondering if that was one of her little elves with a flute or something out there playing.
Well, you know, she travels with an entourage.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And so, I feel that it could have been, but it was just the coolest experience to hear that flute. You know, you go, wow, because I've never had an experience like that. And, of course, I had a dream on the Friday night about the Anunnaki returning.
Uh-huh.
And I had that dream the first night it was there, which is a really, really powerful dream, because they were really, really tall beings. And I think I asked you the next night, are the Anunnaki really tall? And you go, yeah. And I said, well, I dreamt about them last night.
Uh-huh.
And so that was, but the other cool experience that happened when I was there, well, actually when I came home, because, you know, I kept looking up at the skies when I came home, and we even did a sky watch at the Casa. And we'll talk about the Casa in a minute, but we took some friends out on our land and did a sky watch, and we saw at least 7 really interesting, things going on in the sky that night. So I really felt, and I think that's why Mary called me to go visit you guys, because she always calls me to go places that will have energetic resonance to what we're creating here in Colorado, the Casa de Santa Maria.
Mm-hmm.
One of them is Medjugorje, the other is the John of God Casa. And I knew when they kept telling my inner eye chalkboard to go visit your ranch that there was some kind of resonance or connection with that. And I knew that I needed to experience that energy, which is really, really powerful. So I haven't quite figured out the connection between the Casa land or what's happening here in Anisette, but I know there's some kind of connection energetically that she's trying to awaken me to. But anyway, I came home. I was coming out of town council meeting, and there's this big mesa right by, you know, the road there. And I looked up, and there were 2 lights sitting right on top of the mesa. They were brilliant lights, like come off the mountain, you know, that come off the Mount Adams.
Mm-hmm.
The flashing. There were 2 sitting right there, 1 big one and 1 little one. And I stopped dead in my tracks and looked at them. They were just brilliant, and they just blinked out.
Huh.
And it couldn't have been anybody up there.
No.
Because it was like 9:30 at night, and it was cold and that kind of thing. Well, interestingly enough, I went out to lunch with a friend the next day, and she says, I told her about the lights I saw last night, and I explained to them they looked like the lights that would flash off of Mount Adams, and they literally felt like beings. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And she says, well, my friend Dennis, that same night, saw 2 lights traveling from Mount Blanca, which is 14,000-foot peak where our land, you know, faces that.
Mm-hmm.
He heard this roaring noise. He looked out the window, and there were 2 lights traveling. One was big and one was little. And it like validated my experience that these weren't just out of the blue. And this happened right after I came from the ranch, that these lights showed up.
Yeah, there's a definite people that come to the ranch and connect, you know, and connect in there and go home, they have all kinds of things that happen after they get home. And And I love to tell people and show them the old frescoes, you know, with UFOs and, you know, Mary praying and a beam of light coming from a golden UFO down to her crown chakra. And, you know, all of these old frescoes with UFOs in them, very, very spiritual or biblical events happening. And they all have UFOs in them. So people, a lot of times they say, well, what does Mary have to do with UFOs, or what is, you know, religion? And I can go into depth into that, but it gets pretty wordy. But it's always been a part of the ancient history, and it's just been censored over the past 60 years or so.
Yeah, and you know, when the day that we put the 10.5-foot totem pole carving of Mother Mary mm-hmm. on our land, that was the very first thing she wanted on the land, which was gifted to us, by the way.
Wow.
When we got the message we were to create a casa, we had no idea where it was going to be. We were led up here. We said, no, we don't want it to be up here because it's 8,000 feet up.
Yeah.
And we didn't want to be in the cold. We were living in Sedona at the time. So we really resisted where she called us to.
Uh-huh.
And on the way back to Sedona, when we realized this is where she wanted it, I had a dream and I heard her say, surrender to the land.
Yeah.
So by the time we got back to Sedona, we said, okay, we'll go. We wrote three people. One of them wrote back and said, we'll buy the land for you.
Wow.
And we have 101 acres. And so we knew that this is where she wanted us. But anyway, we were supposed to put this 10.5-foot totem pole carving up here. The day we put it in, we had a UFO show up, and we have it in the picture. It's a round egg, silver egg, sitting
uh-huh.
about a half mile off the horizon. I saw it with my own eyes, and I put the hose down to look back, and it disappeared, but I got it in the picture. So there is a connection with UFOs and Mother Mary.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I think that's all going to come and make itself known here in the next, I would say probably in the next few months. You know, it's going to unfold.
Right, and I think that'll be something really good for you to share that, you know, what you know about that. When we do the Teachings of Mary retreat,
yeah.
there are studies. I think that would be really fantastic.
Do you have the date on that? I don't have my calendar with me because I'm still in Maui, or the flyer,
The date on that is the 23rd through the 25th.
Okay. Of this next
of month. May.
Of May, okay.
Of May,
yeah.
And, you know, so that's going to be, I just, you know, when you mentioned that, when I had my session with you there,
uh-huh.
that we should do a Teachings of Mary, I said, oh, yeah, that's right, you know, we should do that. And I really haven't stepped up into the work with, you know, Teachings of Mary, although I do it in my work, do you know what I mean? I thought, yeah, this is the next step. But I thought it would be so powerful to do it there with the energies there on the ranch.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And we'll get a real different – the groups we get up there are people that are very open-minded and loving hearts, and there are different levels of understanding, but it'll be amazing up there with the energies up there. I wish I had – I don't have any of my info because I'm basically – looking out into a jungle right now in a hut, so I'm kind of limited as to, but I'll be back in the ranch in full swing, you know, right probably around the 3rd or the 4th of this coming month.
Oh, well, that's good. In April.
Yeah.
Oh, good. Yeah, yeah. So I'm really excited about it. You know, I have 24 of my folks that are ready to sign up and go.
Oh, great.
And so I'm really excited about that. And, you know, I'm just really looking forward to it because I know this is her calling, not mine, you
uh-huh.
know. And when she calls to do something, you say, yes, ma'am,
yeah.
you know, I'll do it. And even though you don't know how it's all going to work out yet, you just trust that it'll all fall into place. And of course, I think this is a lot has to do with our work with the Casa de Santa Maria,
mm-hmm.
Which I don't think we've talked about yet, have we?
No, I think we should get more into that and talk about, you know, what your mission is and how people can get involved with your work there in Colorado.
Yes, my husband and I were called, again with my third eye chalkboard, go see John of God, go to John of God, you know, until we finally say, okay, you know, we'll go. We have a tendency to resist because of the fact that, oh, you mean I got to leave the country, you know, oh, I got to do this, you know. But Milt and I have lived our life where if Spirit says go, we go. And we were called to John of God. To go there without knowing why we were going there. And on the first Sunday that we were there, they were holding a mass at the casa there, the John of God casa. And as I'm meditating, I hear Jesus say, "We want you to build a casa in the United States." And I said, "What?" "And we want you to build a casa in the United States. It's to be called Casa de Santa Maria." Mm-hmm. And I said to Jesus, "Well, what about you?" And he says, "It's for my mother," which was so perfect. And I just laughed out loud, you know. And so I told Milt, and he says, "Wow, cool." We were so excited. It's like they would pick us to build a casa. We're just these two little people with no money, no, you know, no way to make this happen. And we said, "Yeah, we'll do it." And I don't know if you've been to John of God, but when you go down there, you're often sent to the current room where you sit and hold energy and meditate for an hour, hour and a half, sometimes 2 hours, while the people needing healing go through that room, mm-hmm. and you're holding that energy. So when I was in that room meditating, I kept seeing this heart with the wings, which mm-hmm. is what you have,
yeah.
but it was a broken heart with mm-hmm. wings and then a triangle around it. And I knew that was to be the logo of the casa, that it was to heal broken hearts, to help people find purpose to life, and to bring peace, joy, and love to the soul. And that was the mission of the casa. And so then the land was given to us, and we moved up, sold our house. We just bought a house 9 months earlier in Cottonwood. Mm-hmm. And our first house ever together. We were so excited, and we had to sell it. But the cool thing, that was right before the bubble burst, and we ended up making $50,000 on that house in 9 months mm-hmm. when we sold it, which gave us the money to come up here and start the work here. And so what the casa is all about, and right now we do the work through, you know, private sessions and teleseminars, and we bring people up for retreats, but we don't have the retreat center built yet. But the first thing that was to go onto the land was a 300-foot diameter prayer and meditation garden, and the statue was to be the first thing. And so I would say we're about two-thirds done with the garden. It has two labyrinths, a medicine wheel, a stone circle. Next week they're putting in our ceremonial fire pit, and we have a Star David circle. And so we're just now getting to the point where we feel it's to go to that next level of creating a retreat place, which Mother Mary said it was to be a barn. She didn't want some big fancy building, you know, expensive thing. She just wanted a barn that would be her home, and people that would come there, she would work on them. So we've had a lot of experiences there, you know, a lot with orbs and in the garden already. But we feel like now is the time to really step in that work and make, you know, start doing her work.
Yeah.
And that's what I felt like when you said, "Let's do a Teachings of Mary." It was like her saying, "Okay, now's the time."
Yeah. You know, I've seen these units here. They're putting up in Hawaii. They're amazing, but they're kind of a ribbed barn. And they put them together in these ribs, and they look beautiful. I mean, they look kind of futuristic, and they're very inexpensive. But I think up there you might have a problem with, because you'd have to insulate it.
Yeah, we can get down to 30 below here in the winter. And I think our season will be like your season, you know, where you're closed during the winter. Plus, the other problem we have is wind. We're right down here in the San Luis Valley. We're located just 20 miles north of the border from New Mexico. So we're 60 miles north of Taos. New Mexico, but our property faces Mount Blanca. You just see this huge, massive peak out there. And, of course, the San Luis Valley is known for a lot of UFO activity.
Oh, yeah, I've heard that Crestone area, too, that's pretty close to you, isn't it?
That's about 60 miles north of us.
Okay, yeah, they've got a lot of crazy stuff happening in that area as well.
Yeah.
If people want to contact you, what's the best way for people to contact you to find out more about your...
Well, the website is casadesantamaria.org. And that's our website, and you can go learn more about the casa. It's I don't know if I should spell it, but it's just the way it sounds, casadesantamaria.org. And matter of fact, if anybody signs up... for the newsletter, you get three of our teleseminars free, and you also get e-copy books of two of our books. One is Messages of Love from Mother Mary's Heart. And the other book is How Come When I Talk to God, That's Okay, But If He Talks to Me, People Think I'm Crazy.
Yeah.
And that's another one of our books. So you can go there to learn about the CASA. My other website is just SusanSandiford.com. That's where, you know, my main focus has been when I woke up and wanted to connect with God. Well, I connected with God, but I also connected with everybody along the way. Yeah. And so that started my after-death reading. So I do, you know, spiritual growth readings and that kind of thing. We're going to be doing a retreat here in San Luis, which we will go out to the CASA and experience that as well. But it's called Awaken Your Intuitive Heart. And so I do intuition training and how to move into your heart. The retreat that we're going up there, we're really going to focus on Mary and, you know, having her help us open our hearts and connect in with her and our inner wisdom and our own divinity within, because that's what she teaches. So I think that's really good. And then I thought maybe I should share one of my favorite messages from her.
Sure.
Which is spiritual growth in a nutshell. You know, when I got this message, I didn't realize the power it had in it. But one of my favorite messages is, my dearest child, you are the miracle you have been seeking. You are the heart you want to find. You are God's gift to the world. You have been created as divine. You are my heart. I am yours. There is nothing separating the two. You are my beloved child. My gift to you is you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's beautiful. We've been talking a lot about the external program going on here and how people have been so programmed to do everything external. And hardly spend any time internal, you know, and meditating on the heart and getting in touch with your heart. And I think the highest teachings right now that can be given is to drop down into the heart and start feeling, you know, your actions and your choices, and feel how you affect others, and see and you know, get in touch with how other people feel as well.
Absolutely. I mean, because you feel the presence of the divine through the feelings. You're right. You know, you said that earlier. And if you aren't in touch with your feelings, or if you're all backed up with unhealed emotions, those have to be dealt with if you really want to move forward in your spiritual journey. You know, and there's certain, and I don't know if you've realized it this way, and this is one thing we're going to talk about at the retreat, is the stages of spiritual growth. You know, one of the main stages is to love the self and heal the self. And once you love the self and heal the self, then you can go out and give that divine love and service to the world, and that's what changes the world. But if we're carrying around all this unhealed stuff, we're vibrating at a level that doesn't have the effect it can have unless you've cleaned your pipes out, so to speak, and you know how to love you, even your unhealed stuff.
Yeah, exactly. It's that old saying, physician, heal thyself, you know.
Exactly, yeah.
We need to focus more on that. We've just got a couple minutes left. I don't know if there's anything else you wanted to share, you know, before we close out the show, but yeah, whatever messages you want to drop on the audience, feel free to let her rip.
Well, I guess I could say we'd love to see you at the Teachings of Mary retreat, and to recognize this is her retreat, not ours. And if you want to get in touch with learning how to love yourself, and the powerful energies that comes with connecting it with the divine, we'd love to see you in May. And I really think it's going to be a powerful time, and I'm really excited. I know for me, James, I don't know about you, but whenever I do these things, I get healed too.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
You know, and that's what's so beautiful. And, you know, one thing I've learned is, yes, I may be teaching, but I'm also the student too. And I learn from the people that come there as well. So it's really about community and connecting in with the heart. That's what's going to change the world. And if you want to change the world, come to this retreat, because it's going to change you in miraculous ways.
Great. Yeah, definitely. I'm looking forward to that too. I just love the divine feminine energy and Mary's energy and hanging out and in that energy. Sometimes I feel like I get spoiled by it because then I have to deal with the outer world, you know.
Oh, yes. I do know, but you know what? I think those are gifts too. If we start looking at it as gifts and choose love even when it's hard, that's what's going to change the world, because, you know, we can't bring the lower vibrational energies up to our level. We have to bring the higher vibrational energies down to it, which is what she does. She's willing to come down to even the most broken being and say, I love you. I will pick you up. I will help you. And that's our job. That's what she asks us to do, you know, especially if she's your experiences with her. It's saying, will you love these people for me till they can feel me for themselves?
Mm-hmm. Oh, I agree. Well, one last time before we sign off, what's the best way to get in contact with you?
Well, just go to casadesantamaria.org, and there's a way to connect with us through there, or susansandiford.com is my other website. So either of those websites, you'll find your way to us.
Okay, and we can also go to eseti.org and request a reservation for the Mother Mary event, esetireservations@gmail.com. If people want to find out more about the events happening at eSETI and sign up for the workshop.
Absolutely. So we'll look forward to seeing you guys there, and it's going to be fun.
All right. Hey, I can't thank you so much for coming on the show, and much aloha, and have a good journey till we meet again.
See you then.
All right, it's James Gillen signing off. Have a great evening. Drop down to the heart and let the manifesting force of all creation flow through your heart, because that's what it's all about. Have a good night.